Welcome everyone to Faith Family Fellowship. So glad you're here to worship with us on this beautiful, dry Sunday morning. Amen. If you would go ahead and stand with us, let's worship the Lord, sing out his praises because he's worthy. Let's sing.
Else was supposed to do it, so I apologize for that. We want to welcome you to Faith Family Fellowship this morning, and indeed it is great that it's not raining. when people move in and they from different places and they hear that we get more rain in this area than any other place in the country, they don't realize that we get it in bucketfuls, okay? It's not continuous, but boy, have we gotten the rain. I've got mushrooms growing all over the place. And so if you need some mushrooms for lunch, come over to our house. We'll gladly give them to you. I got some little purple ones that are outstanding. No, they really are edible, okay? You're looking at me going, boy, he's weird. But no, they're really edible. We're glad you're here. If you're not a regular attender of Faith Family Fellowship, in a special way, I'd like to welcome you and call to your attention a little card in front of you or behind you. It's called a connection card. And just give us an opportunity to know that you are here and then contact you in some way and see if we can be of help or assistance to you. especially if you're looking for a church home, we would love for Faith Family Fellowship to be a place where you can find, as a believer, a place of service and ministry in the kingdom of God. It's just a troublesome day in which we live, and fellowship with the body of believers is so critical in our day. People are dividing themselves away from the church who once called themselves Christians, and those who are truly born again are realizing fresh and anew the meaning of what it means to be a body of believers. So would you join me in prayer? And Father, as we pray for one another, you said this would be a house of prayer. And we do pray for the gathering together of your church, the body of believers, to come to refresh and to be renewed and restored, for us to be instructed in the Word of God, for us to pray with one another, pray for one another, and exhort one another day in and day out of that communion and fellowship we have together. And then, Lord, as we're scattered, that we might have confidence, boldness to speak forth the Word of God in truth and integrity, that the world might know that Jesus is Lord. To His name and to His glory we pray. Amen and amen.
Go ahead and stand yet again. Let's continue worship this morning.
You're worthy of worship. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of thanks. You're worthy of worship. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of thanks. Jesus Christ crucified, bled and died to save our lives. Giver of boundless love, faithful one, to you we ride. Every knee will bow, every tongue will shout, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Son of man, great I am. Healing power is in your hands. Risen one, it is done. Sin and death are overcome. Every knee will bow, every tongue will shout, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. You're worthy of worship. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of thanks. You're worthy of worship. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of thanks. You're worthy of worship. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor, you're worthy of thanks, you're worthy of worship, you're worthy of praise, you're worthy of honor, you're worthy of thanks. Every knee will bow, every tongue will shout, Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord.
Amen. Father, to the fatherless, defender of the weak, freedom for the prisoner, we sing. This is God in His holy place. This is God clothed in love and strength. Sing out, lift your voice and cry out. Awesome is our strong God. Mighty is our God. With us in the wilderness, faithful to provide every breath and every step we see. This is God in His holy place. This is God clothed in love and strength. Your voice and cry out. Awesome is our strong God. Mighty is our God. Sing out, raise your hands and shout out. Awesome is our strong God. No, there is none stronger than our God. There is no higher, no, there is no greater. No, there is none stronger than our God. There is no higher. Awesome is our strong God, mighty is our God. Sing out, raise your hands and shout out. Awesome is our strong God, mighty is our God. There is no higher. Stronger than our God. There is no higher, no, there is no greater, no, there is none stronger than our God. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Josh, and our worship team and all the instrumentalists. They spent a lot of time preparing and so they can share with us. And It's flawless when they get up here because they've done so much work to prepare. And appreciate that. You let them know sometime how much you appreciate what they do, because a lot of this they do at home before they get here. And so anyway, we thank you very much. This morning we're going to be talking about false teachers, because the text that we have here in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, he has just reminded us of the certainty we can have in the prophetic word, the scripture. We have confidence that the scripture is true, and to back that up was the life of Christ fulfilling the scripture, and then as Peter reminds us of the witnesses that wrote it down, those like Peter who touched him, who talked with him, who saw him. They saw it with their physical eyes, the risen Lord. They were there at the cross when he suffered and died. They heard him cry out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So you and I have great confidence. On the flip side of that, we're being warned against false teachers. And we are living in a time in which false teachers, and I'll use the term because it's been used so much medically with COVID, many vectors. I don't know what a vector is. I do know what a vector is. But many vectors, many different avenues and ways in which false teaching comes into our lives because of the internet, because of the television, because of radio. There are so many different ways that you, and books, you and I are vulnerable to false teaching. And so we need to be very careful, and that's exactly what God's reminding us of today. And it's not really the, oh, I feel good kind of message. I wish it was, but it's the kind of message we need to perk up our spiritual ears to make sure that the truth that we are hearing and adjusting our lives to is the truth of God's Word. Because it is the same yesterday, today, and forever, in the same way that the Lord Jesus is. Our grass will wither, our flowers will fade, but the certainty is God's Word will stand how long? Forever, okay? So let me begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2 when it says, but, so in contrast to what's just been said, false prophets also arose among the people. There were true prophets, false prophets, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. So much so, it says, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words, and their condemnation from long ago is not idle. In other words, it may seem like they're getting away with their false teaching. God says, no, it's not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And may that be the word of the Lord to our hearts today. And let's ask God to help us to be aware of false teachers. Lord, you teach us to be aware of them, and you tell us to be wary of them. You remind us not to listen to them, to avoid them. You ask us to even at times confront false teachers. You ask us as church bodies to remove false teachers from our fellowship. And so there's a great warning that you give to the body of believers. And yet, Lord, we need to have discerning ears. And yet, Lord, because of so many different voices that we have coming into our lives on a constant basis, and we have social media and the media, and we have songs, and we have preachers, and we have all kinds of influences that come to bear on our lives, that it becomes more and more difficult to discern the voice of God. And Lord, help us to know how to pull away from all the voices of the world, from all the voices that are screaming at us, and to learn to listen to your voice, to hear from you, to know what is true and right and just and righteous and holy. And we pray this, Lord, not just so that we would live blessed lives as followers of Jesus Christ, but also that Jesus Christ might be glorified through the way we live. In His name we pray. Amen. I really don't want to give a whole lot of attention to false teachers this morning, but I'm going to read a few statements that come from some popular false teachers of our day. And don't say any names. I really don't want to get up here and talk about different ones, and I don't want to upset the apple cart so much. I don't mind confronting them personally. I've been with some false prophets, false teachers, face-to-face, one-on-one, and I've not had a hesitation from calling them out on the things that they have said or done. But I'm going to read you a list of statements, and you might know some of these because you'll say, well, I've heard that. I know who it goes to. It might be someone who said something like, I want you to live your best life now. I shouldn't have done it that way. Or maybe someone who said, I am what I am today because of what I believe about what I believed about myself yesterday. Now, you may not catch that one, but that's someone that if I named them, you would go, oh, really? Every one of these I got from one of their messages, okay? Another one said, it is wrong to pray, Lord, thy will be done. We should pray, heal me now. Now, it might seem, oh, out of need that I pray that, but and yet, what does the Lord Jesus pray? Not my will, but thy will be done. How about this one? I want you to hear from God, and God has already spoken to me, and I'm going to tell you now what to write. You're going to write your check to, and they name their ministry. BH. Number five. I said I wasn't going to do that. Peter, James, Paul elected to unhitch the Christian faith from their Jewish scriptures, and my friends, we must do so as well. Now, these would be people that you would catch on your television set, you would hear on your radio. You might read their books. They might be on the New York Times bestseller list. And yet those are heretical statements. Those are false teachings. Those are teachings that would lead you away from Christ. And not to mention that we need to be so careful about songs that are written today, because so many songs are being written by people who haven't had the experience or the full knowledge of Scripture to truly be able to write down God-centered, Christ-centered, scriptural songs. And I'm not saying all of them are bad. There's a lot of great songs that are out there. But if you have to make a new album to keep your ministry, as it were, going, it becomes a very flawed, fleshly, self-centered motive. And it opens up the door of opportunity for someone to just write something that sounds good, rhymes well, and yet is not full of spiritual truth. And so we need to remember that when false teachers teach, what they're doing is, generally speaking, in Scripture as well as in life, they're trying to give us a sense of peace when God is saying trouble is there. Judgment may be coming. And like in Jeremiah's day, they were saying, peace, peace, when there really was no peace. You see, our peace is in Christ. Our peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in some quaint saying or a new three-step way to have peace in a wicked world. It comes through a abiding union with Jesus Christ. We sang in the early service a song that talked about this strange yet divine relationship that we have with Christ. It is our union with Christ. It's our life with Christ, so that we are, as it were, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Man, that is a wonderful truth. And it is out of that that you and I live and breathe and have our spiritual life and vitality. And we need to be very wary of false teachings and false teachers who come along and say something that it's the newest thing. It's the newest trend. It's very exciting, and everybody seems to be going around it or gathering around it. And yet I want to remind you what that wise man of old, Solomon, once said: there is no new thing under the sun. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as is His holy word. So I just want to bring out a few truths that are found in these verses of Scripture that kind of help us to think in terms of being cautious, being aware, even saying, Lord, examine my heart and see if I'm embracing any doctrines or teachings that don't fall into what the Word of God says. Because we're all vulnerable. If this Scripture says anything, it reminds us we can all fall into a pit. It was kind of interesting. I wanted to put it up on the screen and didn't have time. Between the first service and the second service, somebody sent me a simple little video. It was only about 6 seconds. And it was a sheep. It got caught in a little trough. It was just barely wide enough for the sheep to get caught in. They were laying pipe, apparently. And there was a sheep stuck in it. And a man reached over and he grabbed the sheep by the back legs and pulled it out. The sheep took off and ran about 20 yards and then went right back into it. And I wanted that to be a visual reminder. When I saw it, I thought, that's a great reminder of how we can say we're being delivered from a false truth, a false doctrine, and then jump right back immediately into it or something else. So let's begin back in verse 1, and let's see this about false teachers. Number one, false teachers are out to deceive people. I know that's not a brilliant statement, but it's a profound statement. Jesus said, false teachers you will have. The New Testament reminds us over and over again that we will have false teachers. And what we need to remember, false teachers are there to trick us. They're there to deceive us. False prophets also arose among them. Now it says prophets and teachers. Prophet is really someone who says, God told me to tell you. And a false teaching is just twisting and making a perverted, as it were, variation of what was a true doctrine. And so that's kind of the thing that we have to think about in both of these. No one has the right to come to you and say, God told me to tell you this is what you need to do. There is only one, and that is the Holy Spirit of God, who has the right and the authority to come to you and say, the Word of God says thus and so, and you are to obey it. And that's who we need to be listening to. Does God use teachers? Yes. Does God use preachers? Yes. But we're just instruments through which God, the Holy Spirit, is going to speak to your heart and tell you what God wants you to do. False prophets arose among the people. Notice, these are people who look like the church, okay? Just as there will be false teachers among you, or as the Greek text says, in you, in your midst, who will, and notice the language here, secretly bring in destructive heresies. They seek to lead away, even if possible, the Scripture says, the elect. In Mark chapter 13, when Jesus was talking about the end times, he makes that statement. They're performing signs and wonders. So you be on your guard, knowing that I have told you beforehand, if it were possible, they would lead you astray. Now, the truth is, if you belong to Christ, you can't fully be led astray. You can go down a dead-end alley. God's going to come alongside you and bring teaching alongside you and correct you. I talked to my mother Friday's bathing day where she's at, and I said, you need to get your bath. And I talked to her Friday evening. I said, did you get your bath? She said, I don't remember. She said, my mind's just not working well. And she's 97, so I talked to her Saturday morning. And she said, I don't remember. So I went by to see her Saturday afternoon, and I asked her again, and she said, I don't remember. And I called her this morning before church, and I said, do you remember if you got your bath on Friday? And she said, no, I can't remember if I did. I said, Mama, you didn't get your bath on Friday, did you? I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come over this afternoon, and I'm going to take off my belt, and I'm going to whip the back of your legs like you used to whip mine. Of course, I'm teasing. And yet, spiritually, when we go astray, when we embrace a teaching that is not true to the Lord, we will find ourselves in dire straits as the people of God. If we belong to Jesus Christ, eventually that will take us down a road that will lead us into destruction. It is the way of destruction. That's why they teach what they teach. We're warned by the Lord Jesus Christ that we are to be very careful about listening to false teaching. And Romans chapter 1 reminds us that we exchange the truth of God for a lie, and we come to where we worship the creature rather than the Creator. We're living in a society today that continues to advance this false doctrine that there is no Creator. And the reality is, if there is no Creator, what are you going to wind up worshiping? You're going to wind up worshiping the creature. A few weeks ago, we had an elder planning time, and we went to a restaurant for lunch, and while we were sitting there, two hymns came on over the speakers, and I was just shocked. I was like, here I am out in a secular restaurant, and here's one hymn, and I was like, this is good. And then another hymn comes on, and then I thought, man, this is really good. And then another song came on, and it says, and oh, I worship you, and it began this whole movement of worshiping you. And I looked at Matthew, who is our administrator, youth pastor, and he looked at me and he shook his head and he said, no. And I said, what do you mean? He said, this is a man singing about a woman, that he is worshiping her. And I thought, how blatant can you be to prove the truth that when we get false teaching in our minds, to no longer believe in a Creator God, we will come to do what? Worship the creature rather than the Creator. Because in a world without a Creator, in a world without God, then we become gods, and everything centers around not you, but me. And I become my own authority, and we become the one who looks for every pleasure in this world to satisfy the longing of our passions. And so false teachers come to deceive. The scripture says we shouldn't be surprised about that. 2 Corinthians 11. These men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And that's why you and I have to be so diligent. It is hard at times to spot deception. I don't know how many times that I've been around someone who is in their senior years of life, and they've got a phone, and it begins to ring, and they look at it, and they go, I don't know who that is, but I'm going to answer the phone. And I say, don't answer it. Well, it might be somebody. I said, yeah, it's somebody trying to get your money from you. You see, we live in such a trust atmosphere within the body of believers, it's really difficult for us to come to say, listen, I need to be wary of deceitful people. There are people that are disguising themselves, and we are reminded to stay away from them and from their teaching. Secondly, here in verse 1, he reminds us that these false teachers are out to destroy people. That's the language that God uses. He says, those who secretly bring in destructive heresies. There is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, in verse 15, he says, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. But notice how he identifies them. But inwardly they're ravenous wolves. They're ravenous wolves. I was watching a video the other day on YouTube. It caught my attention. It said, which is the most dangerous fish in the sea? And it had a picture of a dolphin, and it had a picture of a killer whale. Well, I thought immediately, it's got to be the killer whale. Well, it was the killer whale. Yeah, all it said was, though, a dolphin is just a large version of, I mean, a killer whale is a large version of a dolphin. And what it did in this video, it showed this killer whale go after a great white shark. And with extreme precision, it showed this great white shark head for the liver of the great white shark. And like a surgeon, it split it open, ate its liver, and went off. Wow. I thought about that. I thought, you know, Satan is just like that. He knows how to come as a surgeon and interject his false doctrine and his false teaching to come at the heart of the believer to try to steal away the life of Christ from us. That's not possible for him to do that. But the truth of it is, false teachers are just like that. They're not here to help us. They're here for themselves. And they're being tools of Satan, and they're being tools of the demonic world to steal, kill, and to destroy our lives. Have you ever seen a mad dog or a wolf go after the throat of another animal? And that's exactly what a false teacher is going to do. Jesus said, beware of them. They're like ravenous wolves. But you know, you may not have caught or remembered that the preceding two verses in the Sermon on the Mount say this: enter by the narrow gate, for the gate that is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. That's why I be wary. Souls are at stake. Eternity is in the balance. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Therefore, beware of false prophets and their teaching. Paul warned the Ephesian church. He said, fierce wolves will come in among you, and they will not spare the flock. You know, I'm generally an easygoing guy. Okay, I hope you think that. I'm generally an easygoing guy. But I got to tell you, the fur on my back, stands up when I hear that somebody is bringing false doctrine our way. And we've had false teachers who've tried to get in our church here at Faith Family Fellowship. We have over the 15 years I've been here. And I've been called unchristlike. I've been called non-Christian and all of those different accolades. But my friend, a shepherd takes his staff, and you know what he does with the wolf that's coming to get the sheep? Yeah, he whacks them over the head. I heard somebody say that. That's what you do. And that's what we continue to try to do here at Faith Family Fellowship. So Paul said to them, be alert. And then he also reminded them, he said, I commend you to God. And this is in Acts chapter 20. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Get back to the scripture. Get back to the word of God. Number three, these false teachers also are out to deny the master. This is the worst thing about a false teacher. A false teacher is perverting who Jesus Christ really is. Sometimes it is overt to say, I don't believe in the Christ. We have a set of sciences today. And by the way, back in the 1700s and the 1800s, it was clear that theology was one of the sciences, by the way. I still believe it is. But in the day in which we live, we have some of the sciences that are denying the very truthfulness of who Christ is. And all of creation and all of the Word of God, and I believe all of human experience proves to us there is a God. It really confuses me sometimes with those who say I don't believe in God, how stringently they seek to prove that God does not exist. And I'm like, if God does not exist, ignore him. If he doesn't exist, live like he doesn't exist. And yet there's a struggle in the heart of the human soul because the scripture tells us God has put eternity into the heart of man. There's a realization within us that we have been created by a creator. And realize that false teachers are here to tell people, don't believe what you sense within your own heart and within your own soul. Verse 1 says that they secretly brought in destructive heresies, even the denying of the master who bought them. When John was writing his first letter in the fourth chapter, he said, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. There are those who outwardly and overtly deny Christ, but there are those who also pervert, change the view of who Christ really is. You know that the word confess in the New Testament does say, mean confess, but it also means to agree with. And there are false teachers who come in and they use the name of Jesus. They talk about Jesus, but they transform in the minds of people who he is. I've had people knock at my door and want to talk to me about Jesus. And they will tell me that, oh, I believe in Jesus, but Jesus is just a God among many gods who have come. I see, that's a pretty blatant falsehood, but many people buy into it. There are others that are far more subtle than that. There are those who would say that God, being a God of love, cannot be a God of wrath. You know, in order to take wrath away from the God of love, you have to take justice out of the picture. You see, justice requires wrath. My friend, if you don't believe that, all you got to do is look what's going on in our culture right now. The rioting that are going on in some of our cities. The very core of it is a demand for what? We say justice. It's really not. It's wrath. Justice requires wrath. It requires some kind of response to say, this is wrong, and the wrong must be punished. It must be held accountable. And so love and wrath go together because God is holy and righteous and just. And yet there are those who will say, I can't believe in a God who is like that. And so they make Jesus into a different God. He is not the same one. And that's the way false teaching comes. They teach a different Jesus. I love what the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17 when Paul came. They were Jews. They were hearing the preaching of Jesus Christ. They were intrigued by what Paul was saying, but the scripture says in the 11th verse, now these Jews were more noble than the ones back in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. I am not the source of your authority. Pastor so-and-so is not the source of your authority. Teacher so-and-so, male, female, it really doesn't matter. The source of your authority is the Word of God. And we must be anchored and tied to the truth of what God's Word says. Examine everything I say by Scripture. Someone says to me, and I've had this happen so many times, preacher, I'm doubting my salvation, but you were there. You were there when I prayed to receive Christ. You were the one that baptized me. Help me to know that I am convinced that I am going to heaven when I die. And I got to tell you, I immediately begin backpedaling when I hear that. I do. I go, wait a minute. I may have been there when you prayed. I may have been the one that baptized you. But let me tell you what, I will not be standing with you before a holy God. If Jesus Christ is not the one that stands with you, then you are hopelessly lost in your sin. You need to begin asking afresh and anew, like the Bereans did, what does the Scripture say? False teachers will come and they will teach accursed things. I love the way Paul referred to it about false teachers. He said, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel that is contrary, one that is different, let that person be accursed, be cut off, be set apart from Jesus Christ. Number four, false teachers are out to defile many. They're out to defile many. One of the great methods that false teachers use is to tell you it's okay to live like you are. It's just okay to live like you are. You know, you're kind of made that way. You're bent that way. We're all sinners, and we are. And so it's okay to be where you are. Look what he says there in verse 2. And many will follow their sensuality. Now what are we talking about? The senses. Whatever makes you feel good. And they'll come along and say it's okay for you to live that way. You know, I know Jesus, or the Scripture says, be holy even as I am holy. But wait a minute. You know you can't be that holy, can you? And you know what we say? No, I can't be that holy except through Christ. And it is through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ that He keeps calling us back to Himself, and He enables us to do what we cannot do ourselves by the Holy Spirit of God who lives and dwells within the heart of every believer. By the way, if you're continually trying to reform yourself and nothing ever changes, there is something seriously wrong in your relationship with Jesus Christ. There really is. False teaching has crept in and has captured our hearts. Notice what he says in 1 Timothy as Paul is writing to this young pastor. 1 Timothy 4, he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and to the teaching of demons." There's a teaching that is out there that teaches us it's okay to live contrary to a holy life and a holy walk as followers of Jesus Christ. And even in our day, we're seeing what we call an apostasy. The word apostasy means to fall away from. It really means to stand away from. Those who have been in the church, who have looked like on the outside they belong to Jesus Christ, and they have come to a place in their lives when they just step back and say, "I don't believe in Him. He's not real." And that's an apostasy, and that comes by the heart of the human soul being captured by the deceitfulness of false teaching. I do realize that we're on the internet and we're online. And I debated whether or not I would say this today or not. And it's one of the hardest things for me to ever have to share with you as a body of believers. Jan and I are blessed with only one child. And we could not have invested any greater in him than I think we did, apart from the fact that we're flawed and human beings and we're not perfect. And that little boy I brought home from the hospital, and thank God for, and still do, grew up in our home, and he said, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ," and I put him off for baptism for a long time because I thought, well, he's grown up in a preacher's home, and so he can't help himself. He's got to believe, right? And finally, after much pressure, not from him, really from some other people in the church who loved him, said, "You need to baptize him. He's been saved." And so I baptized him. And then I remember a time and when I took him with me to make a visit, there was a lady who said, I don't know that I'm truly converted and truly been saved." And it was my birthday, and I wanted to spend some time with my son. I took him with me, and he heard me share the gospel yet again with someone else. And we got home, and that evening he woke us up. And he said, I never was truly converted, and I need to be saved." And he bowed his head and prayed to receive Christ as his Lord and Savior. And was baptized again because we wanted it to be scriptural baptism. And a little less than a year ago, our son has come out and said he has apostatized. He has fallen away. He no longer believes that God exists. He no longer believes the Word of God. He doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. He stands against what his mom and his dad hold dear to our hearts. And we have grieved. Jan and I spent our Christmas day crying because of the loss of a son and his relationship with Christ. And I keep telling him, "You're not dead yet. You're not dead yet." And I keep praying and asking God to somehow intervene in your life and draw you to himself. But I want you to know one of the bad things about the day in which we're living. We have many people who are apostatizing. They're falling away. They're standing back and saying, "I do not want this Jesus Christ. I don't want a blood sacrifice for me. I don't believe in a God who would require a blood sacrifice. This whole world culture in which America is caught up and captured by, and it's in our media and it's in every aspect of our society, is saying that is pagan to think about a blood sacrifice. And people say, I don't believe. I don't believe. I no longer believe. And yes, one could argue then if they really belong to the Lord, they will come back. And the truth is, yes, that would be true. We're talking about, in my son's case, he's made it real clear that he despises what we hold dear. And I just want to tell you, that's the bad thing. What's the good thing then? The good thing is that people who aren't true believers in Jesus Christ, who have sat in our churches and in our pews, are distancing themselves from the body of believers. And you know what they become when they do that? They become targets of our prayer. They become targets for us to share the goodness of Jesus Christ and the greatness of His glory with those who do not know Him as Savior and Lord. They become targets of the Holy Spirit of God, who is the one that can pull the blind eyes, the scales off of the blind eyes, who can make dead lives come to life again, who can make lame legs to walk again. And what's a tragedy for a mom and a dad becomes an opportunity to know that he's identified himself as one in need of the Savior that we know is mighty to save. And when he does save, he saves to the uttermost everyone who calls on him by faith. Kind of hated to put that little damper on things. Pray for us. Pray for our family. In the same way that I pray with you and pray for you and pray for your family, because many of you have family members just like that. But what you don't expect is for your pastor and his wife to have a wayward son. And the reality is, if you cut me, do I not bleed? I'm just like you in that same category. False teachers. Well, now that's why he's preaching about this. No, I'm preaching about this because it's true. I've got to do the last two very quickly. Remember that false teachers are out to denigrate the truth. To denigrate the truth. Verse 2 says, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. Now, what does the word blaspheme mean? Let me give you a couple of words. To speak ill of. To belittle. To diminish. To treat as unholy. To disparage. To attack. To desecrate. And what the false teacher is doing when they present something that seemingly is alongside what the Word of God says is they are trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. They are trashing the most holy truths of God's Word. And we as God's people need to be so wary of what's happening. I'm reminded of what happened in the Garden of Eden. When Satan came and he sought to cause Eve to doubt the Word of God. And he said, did God actually say to you? And secondly, he also caused them to or her to distort the Word of God. Did God say, you shall not eat of this tree in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die? And that's not exactly what the Lord said to her. So he begins to distort the Word of God. And then thirdly, he causes her to deny the Word of God. But God said, you shall not eat of this tree, lest you die. And he says to her, you will not surely die. That's the world in which we're living in when the false teachers are coming and they are denying the Word of God, causing us to see the truth of God's Word disparaged and blasphemed in our day. Oh, we need to be a people who live what the Word of God says, believe it in our heart, share it passionately with others. And then lastly, false teachers are out to defraud the people. Notice what it says there in verse 3. And in their greed, they will exploit. They will exploit you with flattering words. The word exploit there, I looked it up in the Greek dictionary, and it said to take your merchandise. They want your money. I know if you've been here at Faith Family Fellowship for any time, you know how many times I beg for you to give money. I'm constantly asked by certain people over past times, we have a need for money. Why don't you get up from the pulpit and plead for money? People need to know. And I say, no, God needs to know. God needs to know. You know who the greatest contributor to the China Inland Mission was under the ministry of Hudson Taylor? The one who humanly gave the most money to that ministry that walked by faith? It was George Mueller, who had orphanages with 10,000 children in it, and he never asked for one dime from anybody. He only went to God and told God what the need was. There's a whole host of people that are out there that are looking for your resources, and that's what they're motivated by, and God says to stay away from them. And so in conclusion, let me say this. Even when we do present as followers of Jesus Christ, the true gospel, let me remind you of what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians. And the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Most people will reject it. Does that discourage us? No, it may grieve us. It does not discourage us. We share the Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces into the heart of the human soul in a way that you and I cannot do. It is spectacular what God does when He brings a soul to saving grace in Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to cease from listening to false teachers and stay with the truth of what God's Word says and share it. The newness is not some new teaching. The newness is the new life in Christ. And we need to share it. People can't trust in what they call a conversion. They must trust in Christ. They can't trust in a warm, fuzzy, spiritual moment in their life. They must trust in the Savior. They can't come to a place when they're saying, you know, I've got this warm feeling in my heart that I belong to Him. They must trust in the Word of God and the promised provisions that God has said. And it's my prayer that you and I would be wary today and to know what Jesus told His disciples, and He's telling us today. Matthew 24:13 says, and the one who endures to the end will be saved. You see, the one who is in Christ, who's been born again, you and I will fall, we will fail, we will stumble, and Christ will come by the Holy Spirit of God, and He will apply the appropriate discipline to our lives, and we will come to Him confessing our sin to Him and coming to repentance toward the Lord, and we will renew that walk with Jesus Christ. If those things as a believer don't happen, God says there is a sin that leads unto death. And God will take our life and He'll bring us home to be with Him. If that is not the case, then it is a revelation that we do not belong to Jesus. And we have chosen to take our stand away from Christ. And so I want to encourage you today, if you're in Christ Jesus, oh, stay with what God says. Don't listen to what the world says. Share Him. Love Him. Let's be a people of prayer. Let's be a people of the Scripture. Let's obey what God says. Let's love one another as Christ has called us to love one another. And above all things, have the simplicity of devotion to Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. And Father, we bow our lives before You. to know we are living in a day when, Lord, even those who call themselves professors and possessors of Christ, in many cases, are just wolves in sheep's clothing. And it is their desire to destroy the working of God. And yet the kingdom of God is not of this world. And the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. They're not carnal. They're not of human making. But oh, they are prayer, the Word of God, a sacrificial love, all energized by a sovereign, almighty, all-powerful Holy Spirit who applies the perfect work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary to forgive all sin to anyone who will come by faith and repentance toward Christ. And knowing that our Heavenly Father has a sovereign plan, it will not be altered, it won't be changed. No false teacher will diminish the work of our Father. And so, Lord, we as your children come to submit and to yield ourselves unto you and say, oh God, take us and use us in this day when the chaff is being separated from the wheat. And we ask you to bring into the kingdom of God, chosen by Christ, by the Lord, from the foundation of the world, every saint of God. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we'll all be together in heaven and in glory, and we'll rejoice over the wonderful victory that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the greatness of your grace and your salvation, that which angels long to look into because they've not experienced grace. But we who have had grace poured out upon us, grace upon grace, in Jesus our Lord, we want to live our lives walking with you and pleasing to you for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I pray God bless you and God. And God will use you greatly. God bless you.